Hi, good morning. A very good morning to all those who have joined us here this morning or are joining us online. Welcome to the Sunday service of Free Community Church on this third Sunday of Advent. Today, we light the pink candle, which is called the Shepherd Candle or the Joy Candle. This represents, in the season of Advent, a shift away from repentance towards rejoicing. If you're watching live on YouTube, we would actually love to hear from you in the comments. So please do leave us a comment. We have friendly moderators who will be responding to comments. For example, if you're watching us from overseas, if you're not in Singapore, please drop us a comment to tell us where you're watching us from. Now let us prepare our hearts for a time of worship. Please stand as you're willing and able to respond to the call to worship. Eternal God of hope,
we come into your presence this morning with confidence that you will meet us here.
Where there is sadness, bring joy.
Where there is tiredness, bring refreshment.
Where there is despair, bring a renewed sense of hope.
Let this place be a sanctuary, a safe haven for us.
A home for holy words and songs and prayers.
As we devote ourselves to you. Amen.
We will now proceed to a time of worship. For those of us who are here, unfortunately, we're not allowed to sing. However, you can hum, you can raise your hands, and we invite you to still worship in your hearts. Allow the words, the music to minister to you, meditate on the words, and just let God minister to you through that. Thank you.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. We will sing, sing, sing. Joy to the world. We will sing, sing, sing. Joy to the world.
Joyful,
joyful.
See the future. You're the God of seasons, and I'm
just in the winter. If all I know of harvest is that it's worth my patience, then if you're not working, God, I'm not the way.
Good morning. Would you join me in prayer? God, I believe my season will come. We believe our season will come. And this third Sunday of Advent, while we celebrate joy, the joy seems to be muted. All of us are wearing masks. And it seems to put a dampener on things. But God, you teach us patience. You teach us to wait. So may we wait in this time for joy to be complete, for the coming of Christ. May we prepare and be patient and not be joyful prematurely. We all want to gather again. We all want to celebrate Christmas together. But God, help us learn that this is a season to wait. The winter season where all life slows down and all things seem to be frozen. But God, we trust in you and the coming of spring and the return of life. For some of us, it is a difficult time to celebrate, whether we are wrestling with anxieties and fears, struggling to make ends meet, worried about what is to come. God, help us learn to lean on you. Help us learn to trust in your provision. Help us learn to connect with each other in community. God, we lift up all around the world because we have been fortunate to be in a rather safe environment here in Singapore. But many are struggling in the world. Many are succumbing to the COVID virus. Many are looking at a bleak Christmas. God, we pray that we can stand in solidarity with everyone. We pray that we can be light and love, just as Christ has been light and love in the world. Teach us to be Christ's hands and feet here and now, more than ever, needing our participation in your work in transforming the world. We pray for all of us here in this church and beyond the four walls of this church, that we will get through this together, that we will walk and support one another, because that's what we are called to do. God, may we learn to see joy even in the darkest moments, the longest night of the year. May we learn that dawn will come, spring will come, resurrection will come. All this we pray in the Christ child's name. Amen.
Jesus, beautiful Savior, God of all majesty, risen King, Lamb of God, you're holy and righteous, blessed Redeemer.
If you have any vague recollection of that advertisement just now, sorry, I had to cut it off because I don't want to do any product endorsement. You are definitely showing your age. So for those people who are not familiar with that advertisement, actually it's quite an old advertisement that was shown in Singapore maybe a couple of decades ago that actually accompanied us while growing up. So I'll get back to the reason why I'm showing this video a bit later in my sharing. So if you are new to us here, you do know, you may not know that we are actually usually using menti.com so that we may have more interactions with people on site and also people who are watching us online. So you may go to menti.com and use the code 3371313, or you can just scan the QR code and then we can start off with the sermon. So as mentioned, today is the third Sunday of Advent, and during the first Sunday of Advent, we have Ollie preaching to us about a period of liminality, of uncertainty, of vagueness. And this is especially particularly acute during this COVID-19 pandemic. And then we heard from Miak last Sunday about preparing a way into the wilderness. Today, the scripture reading we'll be taking from will be from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 24. Verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. So in the lives that we lead, there are always stages that actually helps us mark the season that we are actually currently in. And there's a charted growth path where we can see our journey ahead quite relatively clearly. So when we were born, as you can see, most obviously from the kids, from the babies in our church over the past couple of years, we moved from being protected in the arms of our parents to tumbling around and eventually running around in church. We explore the world with curiosity and learn for fun and play. And then we get plonked into the education system. So in the education system, we follow the process of moving up year by year ahead of each of us. And each of us move through the education system based on the resources available and our abilities at the time while we were studying. And then eventually we graduate from being a student and move on to the working world. So in the working world, we move up the rank as we gain experiences. But of course, sometimes we suffer pitfalls because we may not be a good fit to the company, or the economic situations actually resulted in casualties. However, we do know that there's a limit to the time that we can actually work, and one day we get to retire, and then we enter into the final phase of our lives. So socially and relationship-wise, the straight population has actually also quite a standard path of progress, of which some people may deviate from it, lah, because not everybody will just follow this progress also. So we have friendships while we are young. Okay, we have friendships while we are young, then we lead to boyfriends, girlfriends in adolescence, we have courtship, we have marriage, and then we set up a family, so forth and so on. But for the LGBTQ community, we can choose to conform with this heteronormative model and follow through these same stages, but the majority of us probably have to search for our own path to take and to move along. And this progress for us is actually usually more vague and uncertain as we explore these stages for ourselves, and we need to find the stages which are suitable for ourselves. So for the LGBTQ community, it's actually a lot more difficult for us to see growth in this aspect as the stages are not clearly laid out in front of us. So looking through this life stages and social and relationship stages, then we ask ourselves, when we look at one person, okay, we can say that, hey, I think that this person is already towards the retirement stages. Or we can look at somebody and say that, oh, this is still a young adult. Or we can see someone and, oh, this is still a student, a parent, a grandparent, and so forth and so on. But when we look at a person, at a fellow Christian, how do we gauge what stage this Christian is in his or her Christian walk? Can I look at you and say that, oh, I think you're still a young Christian? Or no, I look at you and say that, no, I think you're already mature. You look like a very mature Christian. I think none of us will be able to make the educated guesses. So as there are life stages that clearly demarcates in these various areas of our life, so have we wondered for ourselves what are the stages in our Christian faith? How do we know that we are already a grown and mature Christian? Or we are an adolescent Christian? Or we are still young in our faith? So what criteria do we use to define a mature Christian? So I'd like to invite you now to go on to menti.com, use the code, and share with us some of your ideas that what do you think are the traits of a mature Christian? So as we are waiting for the responses to come in, I'd like to go back to the video shown in the beginning and ask of ourselves, are there times that we think that we have outgrown our faith in Christ, like the kids who have outgrown their clothes, or even we have outgrown Christianity itself? So for those of us who are still here and who are online watching this service, perhaps you are still hanging on to our faith and walking along our path. So the question to us at this moment is to ask ourselves, do we actually look forward to growing up in Christ and moving towards this maturity? Or are we happy to be where we are currently? Because we know that growing up actually involves responsibility. And we'll be glad to leave the growing up to others. We don't want the growing up because we do not want the responsibilities. Or sometimes even for us, we actually wish that we could go back to the time when we first got to know Christ. Because as a young Christian, we seem to have more fervor and more passion for Christ, and we are less cynical of humanity and of the Christianity as a religion or faith itself. So as we have looked at the comments that are coming in about what are the traits of a mature Christian. Okay. Traits of a mature Christian: prayerful, loving, fruits of the Holy Spirit, can tolerate diversity, generosity, kindness, peace, patient and kind to others, building friendships. So this is the word cloud function. So the bigger the words means, the more people, I think, indicate those traits. So these are the traits of a mature Christian that some of us think as. So as we are looking forward to Christmas and celebrating the birth of Christ, I ask of ourselves, what comes next? What can we look forward to after the liminality and the wilderness? Or are we to be stuck in these seasons all the time and there's nothing to move forward for us? I hope indeed that there is something for us to look forward to and aim towards in our Christian journey, or I think we'll become very unmotivated. So one of which is probably to become the mature Christians that you have described in the responses just now. So going back to today's scripture reading, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. So when we read the words rejoice always, maybe you'd like to share with us what comes to your mind when we read the words rejoice always. So to me, this phrase is actually a very, very difficult phrase for me to accept and to act upon, especially in my preparation for this sermon, because I was definitely not experiencing joy preparing this sermon. And it's always a struggle for me to come up here to share. But rejoice always does not mean that we can only put on a happy face and never feel sad or angry or any other emotions, because we know that it is impossible to be happy all the time. But have you met Christians that always only do try to present their best sides to you? Every Sunday you see them and you ask, hey, hi, how are you? Oh, I'm great, life is fantastic, you know, nothing is going wrong. So this is like, you know, they only want to present their Sunday best to people. So what does rejoice always mean to you? It means gentleness, to have inner peace and joy even when circumstances are bad, gratefulness, know who is in the control, alignment and trust in God's good plan, accept our circumstances in every season despite the circumstances, thankful in all circumstances, feeling joy even in the face of struggles, being thankful. I don't know, yes. Constancy with God. So some of us really do not know. It's not easy. It's not easy to always be joyful, to rejoice always. So I like to say that as Christians, we are not called to deny our feelings and put on a false front and pretend that everything is good all the time. Joy is not just an emotion which we have no control over or one that is dependent on our circumstances. I can be very happy when I'm just eating a bowl of chocolate ice cream, or when we have a raise at work, or we are being praised by someone for a job well done. And this happiness can be easily taken away when I'm stuck in traffic and I'm like, why am I stuck in traffic again? Why are these people on the roads? Or when we have misunderstanding with others, or we have fights and quarrels. So when it comes to rejoice always, how can we tell people who have recently suffered a loss of their loved ones, no, you need to rejoice always? Or to someone who got retrenched and have obligations to fulfill, that you must remain joyous. In fact, the holiday seasons, which is supposedly the happiest seasons of the year, are often the period where people are often quite stressed out. This year, coupled with the pandemic and the economic situation, can we be surprised if some of us actually may not be in the mood to celebrate? But we need to know that in 1 Thessalonians, Paul was actually writing this to new believers who are suffering persecutions because of their faith. So he's exhorting them to rejoice indeed in spite of the persecutions. That's why some of the answers says, in all circumstances, especially in bad situations, that you know we need to learn to even more to rejoice. So sometimes I wonder whether, you know, like Miak said, we live in a relatively safe country like Singapore, whether it's a good thing for our faith or not. For if we do not go through the trials of persecutions like some of brothers and sisters in other countries, our faith does not seem to be able to build up to a stronger level. But of course, it doesn't mean that living in Singapore, we don't face persecutions. But the level of persecutions are relative. Some persecutions may be real, but some of the persecutions that we face may be perceived. We may have experienced persecutions for sexual orientation, for some of our disabilities, whether is it physical, mental, or emotional, for our social and economic status. And sometimes we view others as persecuting us just because they do not share the views we hold on to. So the question to ourselves is, are we able to rejoice through these persecutions, whether perceived or otherwise, and actually not react by hitting out at others and expecting them to conform to our sense of justice and act accordingly to what we believe in? There are really a lot of answers coming in, but I cannot read them. There are really too many coming in. So what we'll do is we'll probably download all these responses and then we'll just share after the service with all the people. So, but to rejoice always is actually, before I go to rejoice always. So I'd like to ask, actually, for all of us here, have we actually been persecuted before, or have we sensed persecution before? Or have we actually been on the other side and we have actually persecuted others before? So to be able to rejoice always, so while we wait for a response, so this is probably not easy questions to reply to. That's why you don't see any response compared to just now that question, which is like, you know, what was the question just now? Or what does rejoice always mean to you? So when it comes to persecution, nobody wants to talk about it. So, but to be able to rejoice always is to know that, like what has been shared just now in the responses, it's not that even if we are down and when things are actually against us, when we feel hopeless and helpless about the situation that we are caught in or the circumstances around us, we know that we are able to overcome, for at the end, we trust in God and that God will indeed bring us through. And we'll grow stronger in our faith because of all this. Our joy cannot be totally independent of our circumstances, but neither should it be governed by our circumstances. So to rejoice always means that we must make this deliberate choice to shift our focus onto God and to know and trust in God's goodness and to let go of the focus on ourselves and on our circumstances. So I like to ask that next time you see me with a grumpy face, it doesn't mean that I'm not happy inside, okay? So I'm trying to practice the rejoice only inside in my heart. So persecutions, what have you been persecuted for and what have you persecuted others for? So some of us has been persecuted for a different worldview, for intellectualism, persecuted for who I am. I think that's one of the worst persecution to be persecuted for who we are. Approach to the scripture for being different, for wrongdoings or mistakes at work, for being different, whether is it race, sexual orientation, beliefs, or how I look, for being a gay Christian, for wrong relationships, for being different and, what is said. So after being called to rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we are to pray without ceasing. So when I look at these words from verse 16, it says always, and verse 17, it says unceasingly, without ceasing. Then I think, where am I going to find all the time to rejoice always and pray without ceasing? I still need to live my life, right? So how can we do all this and still live our lives? When it says pray without ceasing, does that mean that we must pray every waking moment? Obviously not, because no one will be able to accomplish that. In the New Testament, there are four words for prayer. One is desis, which has to do with asking God to supply particular needs. One is entusis, which is supplication, prayers for others or for oneself. Eucharitias is thanksgiving. And proskomai is actually the word used here in verse 17. Actually, it's a general word for prayer and would include all kinds of prayer. But when we are asked to pray, it cannot just be us talking to God, bringing our requests and supplications, even if it's for others. Sometimes I think the phrase, I will pray for you, is one of the least helpful Christian phrase that a person would want to hear. My parent just died. Sorry, I'll pray for you. I just lost my job. No, I will pray for you. How often do we say that we will pray for something or someone? And then we do follow through with a prayer, of course. And then we put the person and issue at the back of our mind until we are prompted to remember again. So indeed, two hands working can do more than 1,000 claps in prayer. So just as the season of Advent looks back at the birth of Christ and looks forward to the coming of Christ again, the looking forward does not involve only passive waiting. Indeed, this may be the winter season. Indeed, we must be patient. but it also requires us to be fully engaged. Similarly, praying does not also mean just saying the words, but using whatever means we have to allow God to use us as an expression of prayer itself. So I'd like to ask, is there any actionable prayer that we can pray for at this time? We have to acknowledge that sometimes there are indeed issues that we pray for that there seems to be nothing that we can do. For example, the sudden loss of a loved one due to accidents or illness or some tragic events that's happening on the other side of the world, and we can't seem to do anything. But it is at times like this that we recognize our needs to depend on God in every situation. We cannot do life and deal with life on our own. And the prayer becomes the language of trusting in God. Ah, I can't see. I have to read from the TV. But the fonts are still a bit too small. Sorry. So now you can tell what stage of life I'm in. I'm close to retirement, hopefully. So what actionable prayer can you pray for? Is the screen going to come back? Congratulations. Okay. Well, the screen is not going to come back. Can I move forward a bit? Okay, I'm short-sighted, far-sighted. With astigmatism. Okay, mental healing for peace and to be a peacemaker, pray for wisdom. So for those three people that answered this, I do hope that, you know, you'll be able to take some actions on these prayers that you'd like to act on. So it is helpful to know that the word translated in this case, to pray without ceasing. Without ceasing, it doesn't mean 24/7, but it means to be uninterrupted. That means to have without omission on an appropriate occasion. So it says that our prayers should be frequent and persistent. So in FCC, the strange thing is that we have always wanted to start a prayer group or some regular prayer discipline, and we have always failed in keeping it going. However, with this circuit breaker, and with this COVID-19 situation, with the lack of the face-to-face meeting, and our Wednesday's prayer meeting have actually started and has maintained quite consistently with a few people meeting online every Wednesday evening to pray together. So our prayer ministry has also had difficulty recruiting for volunteers for the Sunday corporate prayer segment. So we have now roped in the pastors to do about half the prayer slots each month. This is because I think when we ask for people to volunteer to pray on Sunday, up here on the pulpit, there's a fear associated with standing on this spot and doing anything in front of people. I think because anytime we stand up here, we are prepared to put ourselves out here, and then we have to be prepared to be criticized. Like just now, during a semi-perceived persecution for the things that we say, or the way that we say things, or sometimes even without saying anything, just by standing here, people really don't like the way I look. So it is difficult. I think it is difficult for us to come up here and to say, to take on responsibilities and duties. But for us to learn, just as we need to learn to rejoice under any circumstances, we also need to learn through these critiques and focus on God for the reason we do things we do, and not on our egos. So there are a few more answers. Okay, good. To be able to love those in my life who are difficult, to live out a life of love and forgiveness. Ask what is actionable prayer. So allowing our actions to be prayers. We pray with our friends. We pray with our hands and feet as well as our mouths and hearts. Actionable prayer is like if somebody comes and say that, you know, like, oh, you know, I've got no money for food and all those, you don't if you can afford out of your own pocket, you can afford a meal, treat this person to a meal and don't just say, I pray for you. So it's something that we can actually take actions on rather than just use words from our mouth to actually say out. Okay. So Henry Nouwen, in his book, Clowning in Rome, actually says that prayers, okay, consciously or unconsciously, all of us are engaged in unceasing thought from birth to death. So the brain is always active. The flat brain wave is the final sign of death. Sleep and dream studies indicate that our minds is always active, even during sleep itself. And our thoughts are indeed the cradle where sorrow and joy are born. With an empty mind, our hearts cannot mourn or feast. Our eyes cannot cry or laugh. Our hands cannot ring or clap. Our tongues cannot curse or praise. So no one is actually encouraging the goal of converting our unceasing thinking into unceasing prayer. It means for us to think and live in the presence of God, to develop a growing awareness that God is always present, and to consciously bring all our words and deeds into God's presence. So 1 Thessalonians verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You note that Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, but not give thanks for all circumstances. For we know that giving thanks for all circumstances means that whether be it good or bad, we need to give thanks. But it is very difficult for us to give thanks if we are in very, very bad circumstances. But giving thanks in all circumstances does not mean that we have to be happy with every circumstances or resigned to just accept matters without praying and working for change. But by faith, we can still thank God, knowing that God is there in all circumstances that we are in. But one thing is, we do not need to feel thankful before we give thanks. Because if you are asking me to be thankful when I'm down and out, I think that is very, very difficult for me to develop a thankful heart. But if each of us look back at our Christian journey, we all have stories where we know that God was there for us when we needed God most. Maybe we do not know at the time, you know, when we are struggling in that moment, when we are experiencing the lows. But in the reflection after the fact, we can often see the hands of God in our lives. But the thing about us being humans is that we tend to forget about this once we get over the bumps of our lives. And when we hit another difficult time, we struggle again to get into the heart of thankfulness. So it is at these times when we need to recall God's goodness to us, so that we, by faith, can say that we trust that God is good and know what God is doing, and we surrender ourselves to God in these difficult situations. So I'd like to ask, what are you thankful for this year? Are there anything, if you look back to this year, are there anything that you are thankful for? Or would you say that, no, this year has been anals miserablis or something like that. It's the worst year of my life. There's nothing that I can be thankful for. So humans are very habitual creatures. And because each of us are actually so used to the way that we live our life, you know, we live our lives, and then we don't see any extraordinary things happening to us that God has done in our lives until somebody comes and say, hey, I think I see the hand of God in this situation in your life, until it's pointed out by others. So in this season of online services and Zoom meetings, we are very aware that communications and engagement has changed tremendously. FCC has been doing YouTube Live. We try to engage via the live chats, via the comments. And then we ask for feedback every single Sunday, ask you to fill out the feedback form. I think we do all this because, indeed, we want to share God's goodness to FCC. And we want to share, you know, we want to share this so that if you happen to be in the dark place now, that you can still see God, that God is doing something good. And we want to also help each other to remember God's goodness to each of us. So what are you thankful for this year? Indeed, thankful for FCC, thankful for therapy, being able to process past trauma, secure a job, yeah, congratulations. People I can still meet, yes, so looking forward to phase three. My favorite hawker stalls are still around. Food is indeed very important to the Singaporean stomach. So thankful for community, still have my health and strength, online church, learn a lot. Thankful for friends and family who stand by me. Job blessings from God amidst the pandemic. I have to switch here. Provision by God, very little, but yes, there's still provision by God. Okay. So I think as we look back in our life and we look back at the year, I think indeed there are and there will be many, many things that we can be thankful for. It can be as little as saying that, hey, I managed to wake up this morning, seriously. I had a good breakfast. I'm able to come to church, or I have internet online to see the Sunday service of Free Community Church. So it can be big, maybe, as big as saying that, you know your health is still going strong, you still got your job, you still have a roof over your head, still able to support and to afford three meals. So we can be indeed be thankful in all things and in all circumstances. So I want to ask, as a last question of reflection, is there a person in your life that you can trust with all your heart and that you know that whatever decision or whatever action that this person takes or makes for you or asks you to do, you know that this person will not harm you because he or she loves you? I think as a child, this person will be our parent, hopefully. And as we grow up, this person maybe becomes our friend or becomes our partner. We trust in another person to advise us, to counsel us, to help us. So in our Christian walk, I would like to ask, would we trust our pastors to listen to their advice and take in their opinions and believe that they have our good at heart? So let's say, no, I don't trust my parents, I don't trust my friends, I don't trust my pastors, so therefore, I only trust myself. But my question is, do you even trust yourselves? Are we able to trust ourselves to say that we can make the best decision for ourselves? Not just for short-term gratification, but for the greater good in the long run. I think for me, I have to say that I do not trust myself 100% of the time to make correct choices in my life for myself. Still got a lot of answers. Okay. Thankful, even though we have small issues, we still gather as a community. Thank you, the sisters and brothers in FCC. Yes. Okay. So how does today's verse actually relate together? How is rejoicing always, praying unceasingly, and giving thanks in all circumstances related? Actually, it is all very, very dependent on our relationship with God. That are we able to make a conscious choice to say that we believe in God in all times because we trust in God and know that God loves us and God only wants the best for us, even if we do not know what the best for us is. But the thing is, we do not have to wait until we have this deep relationship with God before we can practice rejoicing, we can pray, we can give thanks. Indeed, if we start to practice doing so, we'll become more aware of God's presence in our lives and God's love for us. And we learn to trust God more. And this, in turn, will encourage us to follow in God's command more obediently. And it eventually becomes a positive feedback loop. So in this season of Advent, as we continue to look forward to the future with hopes and anticipations, may we all indeed be able to rejoice always, to pray unceasingly, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Amen.
Good morning, church. As we prepare ourselves for communion, perhaps it would be a good time for those who are following the service online to prepare your elements to participate in the communion. We gather each Sunday at this table. Even though at this time we are not physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space, because God's love transcends all boundaries. So, this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria, you do not have to be a member of FCC, and you do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Ascribe to the Lord, almighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of God's holiness.
It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
You, Lord, are righteous in all your ways and loving towards all you have made. You, Lord, are near to all who call on you, to all who call on you in truth. This, then, is how we should pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us
this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Will the stewards come forward to distribute the elements? The stewards will hand you the elements for communion. For health and safety reasons, please do not reach out and take the elements yourselves. Thank you. Is not this the kind of communion the Lord has chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them.
Then our light will break forth like the dawn, and our healing will quickly appear. Then our righteousness will go before us, and the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. Then we will call, and the Lord will answer. We will cry for help, and the Lord will say, "Here am I."
Let us eat and drink of the bread and wine, remembering the gift of salvation and the call to give of ourselves to the needs of others. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of God who called us out of darkness into God's wonderful light.
We will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. We will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Amen.
Would you please dispose of the used communion packages when you leave the church? Thank you.
Hi, a very good morning. So welcome again to the Sunday service of Free Community Church, where FREE stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. FCC is an inclusive church. That means you're welcome here regardless of your theological background, your religion, your sexual orientation, your gender identity, economic status, or any other labels the world puts on you. To our members and those who worship with us regularly, and to those who are joining us for the first time, welcome home. My name is David, and I'm the service leader for today. We'll now continue to worship God with our offerings. As we're coming to the end of the year, I guess this always happens. We have a large gap to close between what we budgeted and what we've actually collected. And this year has been a tough year, so giving has been down. But we do ask that if you regularly attend and or if you support the mission of FCC, which is to provide a safe place, an inclusive place of worship, then and if you have capacity to give a little more, we do really need the help. So there's two ways you can give. There's the QR codes. One is for the general fund, which primarily goes towards our staff salaries. And then we have our building fund, which primarily goes to pay our mortgage. There's other ways you can give as well. We have a credit card. So if you you can give through Give.Asia, which is an online platform for nonprofits. So you can donate by credit card there. And if you look at the interface, you will basically put your donation in the top line. In the second line, it's optional. You can also give to support Give.Asia, and that's optional. Please put your name and email to receive a receipt, and privacy will be assured. So now, please join me to say a prayer of thanks for the offering. Dear God, we remember that you are the giver of all good gifts, and that everything we have comes from you, especially the gift of your Son, Christ Jesus, whose birth we celebrate this season, and in whom you have shown us how much you love us. Please help us to be good stewards over what you have entrusted to us, our time, our money, and our resources, and our talents, that these can be an offering to you. Please bless this offering and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. Amen. So we'll now invite the stewards to come forward to take up the offering. If you would like to put a check or cash into the bag, please raise your hand and the stewards will come to you. I will now continue with our announcements while the stewards are going around. So if you're new to FCC, if you're the first time here, welcome home. We do really want to get to know you. So please leave your details at fcc.la/fccwelcome. We promise we won't spam you. Just the pastors will reach out to you to get to know you better, find out how FCC can serve you. We also have a newcomers meeting every month. So this is for people who may be here for the first time or you've been here for a while but aren't really plugged in. So this will be on the first Sunday of January. If you're interested, please email info@freecomchurch.org. If you need pastoral support during this time, you can also reach us at info@freecomchurch.org. And our prayer meetings continue every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. You can join at fcc.la/fccpraise. We have a WhatsApp broadcast list to remind you of things happening in our service or in our community. If you'd like to join, please WhatsApp your name to this number, 9366-3818. You also need to save the number in your contacts list so that the broadcast will actually reach you. And FCC is now every Sunday on YouTube. We're no longer on MS Teams, but please do watch us on YouTube and subscribe to our channel. Click the like button, click the bell button to be notified. So it's at Freecom Church. Now, this Christmas service will be a very special. There will be no service in this building here. All the services will be basically in homes, which you can sign up. If you haven't got a place to go yet, this is the last Sunday to sign up. So please do sign up, because we actually want to provide a place of worship for everyone. It will be at 10:30 a.m. on Christmas. So if you go to the next slide, you can register your interest at fcc.la/attendxmas2020. And we will find you a place where you can go, and that way we'll get to actually have a meal together. We can actually sing, because we'll be in homes in groups of five. So this is the last Sunday to register your interest, so please do sign up. Now this is interesting. So we have a new cell group starting called Sprout. It actually came out of a group called Seed. So the seed has now sprouted and will become a six-month cell group starting in January on the second and fourth Sundays from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. So this is a cell group for people who aren't currently in a cell group but would like to maybe try out a cell group for 6 months. And then after that, it's no commitment. You don't have to continue. However, it may turn into another cell group. So this is a good chance to meet people if you're new. Please sign up through by contacting Wendy at wendymail@gmail.com. And lastly, we'd love to hear from you. We actually really need your feedback every Sunday. So whether you want to drop us a word of encouragement to encourage all the folks who work so hard to bring the service to you, or to give us some feedback if you see something we can improve on, we actually really want to know, because we do want to improve. So drop us some feedback at fcc.la/fccliveFeedback. And now I'll invite Pastor Myak to give us the benediction.
May I invite those present to stand, if you're willing and able, to receive the benediction. People of God, followers of Christ, may you learn to pray unceasingly, praying not just with your mouth and your hearts, but praying with your hands and feet, and use your hands and feet to bless the world. May you rejoice always in all circumstances, knowing that you are a beloved child of God, even in times of persecution, even in times of struggle, even when you feel you're not forgiven. Know that love is always with you. So go out into the world. Go out and be joyful always, knowing God's love, knowing Christ is with you and Christ is coming. Go in peace and love and justice always. Amen.
So we've come to the end of our service. Thank you for joining us today. It's a beautiful Sunday out there. We wish you a really great week ahead. For those of you on site, the regulations do not allow us to mingle, so we just ask that you use the door on the right to exit, and please drop your communion in the basket on the way out. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a great week ahead.